This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The topic of our discussion we had. Naam. So a question from the sister, she said, I find it so hard to pick up my sunnah after my period. I'll build up the momentum with the sunnah in the normal days, but I find it so hard to continue after my period. Can you please give some advice? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, Rabbil Alameen. I don't want you to take the sunnah to be a burden. It's a blessing. If you think this to be a task that you have to do or a duty that you have to do, definitely it's going to be hard, really. But if you look at it, as a gift, if you look at it as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we mentioned about the virtue of the nafil salah, this is brings you closer to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings you closer to the station of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the akhirah. It is a door for forgiveness. It helps you, inshallah, to make your fard salah complete, bin Allah azza wa jal. If you think of the virtue of your nafil and your sunnah, you won't see it difficult to start with. Also, remember that when you start a salah, it's just like entering a spiritual portal that takes you out of this world. And we all need to take a break from this dunya, wallahi. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to call Bilal to call for the iqama, what did he say? Qala rihna biha ya Bilal. Bilal, please bring us some comfort with salah. Bring us comfort with the salah. Not rihna minha, let's get over with it. No, just bring us some comfort with ibadah and salah. So if you think about the virtue of it, inshallah, I hope you will do that. The other thing is that success is actually by doing successful things. So even if you're not in the mood for that sunnah, I want you to practice to do it no matter what. Just do it, because it's all about doing it. You might say, well, I don't have khushu' for it. That's fine. You need to build the habit, the good habit of establishing ibadah and ta'ah properly. Ibn Abbas used to say, قال الخير عادة. Khair, doing good, is a matter of habit. Like if you establish it, alhamdulillah, regularly, you never actually quit doing it, inshallah ta'ala. Is Tahiyyatul Masjid wajib? The answer is no. Tahiyyatul Masjid is what, Jama'ah? It's one of the sunnah, nafil, right? So, but I don't know what the question means anyway. Does it mean that if you come, you don't have to pray it? I don't say that either. I would say if you come to the masjid, pray. Pray Tahiyyatul Masjid. Pray to rak'ah before you sit down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear. He said, قَالْ إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَلَا يَقْعُدْ حَتَّى يَرْكَعَ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. If one of you enters the masjid, should not sit down until they pray to rak'ah. Another story, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the minbar giving khutbatul jumu'ah. How important khutbatul jumu'ah is, a jumu'ah? Very important. And as the Prophet was giving the khutbah, he saw a man coming from the back and he kind of like getting in between the people, and then he sat down. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed his khutbah and he said to him, قَالَ أَصَلَّيْتَ رَكْعَتَيْنِ? Did you pray to rak'ah before you sat down? He goes, no, ya Rasulullah. قَالَ قُمْ فَرْكَ رَكْعَتَيْنِ وَأَوْجِزْ فِيهِمَا. Get up, pray to rak'ah, make them brief. Like it's to that this is the importance of it. So it's not that it's fard again, but definitely has a great virtue. How do you pray the 12 sunnah on the day of Jum'ah? Jum'ah, unlike what common maybe understanding, it has the same number of nafil just like Salat al-Dhuhr. No, it doesn't, because Jum'ah is not Salat al-Dhuhr. So what is the nafil for Salat al-Jum'ah? In Hadith Abi Hurairah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if someone makes wudu at home or takes shower actually at home, and then they walk to the masjid, قَالَ ثُمَّ صَلَّى مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَنْ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. Like this person prays whatever Allah has written for them to pray before Jum'ah. So there is no limited number of raka'at before Jum'ah. But just keep praying two raka'ah, and then you keep two raka'ah, until the imam stands on the minbar. When the imam gets on the minbar, you can stop. You can stop. But do you have to pray that many raka'at? No. But pray as many as you can, and then you sit down. After Jum'ah, the same thing. There is no specific number of raka'at after Jum'ah. Jum'ah doesn't have any specific nafil for it. However, some ulama, they saw some ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he prays his nafil in the masjid after Jum'ah, he prays two raka'ah. When he goes home, he prays four. So if you'd like to maintain that at least, alhamdulillah, you should be fine. Is tahiyyatul wudu sunnah? Well, it's not called tahiyyatul wudu, it's called sunnatul wudu. Sunnatul wudu, it is sunnah because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved the practice of Bilal. Like Bilal did it on his own, radiallahu anhu. Bilal, at the beginning, he did it on his own. So you might say, but wait a minute, isn't that considered bid'ah? Well, he did that at the time of tashri', which means the time when the legislation was still active. So when the Prophet heard about his practice, he approved it. He goes, you know what? That's the one that gets you into Jannah. It's because the Prophet approved the practice of Bilal, it became sunnah, that if you would like to do it, inshallah, you get the reward for it, inshallah, azza wa jalla. We're not going to go into the details of the different types of salah, salat al-shuruq, salat al-duha, and what is the reward for each, and so on. This is mentioned in books of fiqh. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned man salla ghadata fi jama'ah, whoever prays salat al-fajr in jama'ah, and then qa'ada fi musalla yadhkurullah hatta tatlu' al-shams, he said in the musalla, until the sun rises, thumma salla rak'atan, then you pray two rak'ah, kalahu ajr hajj wa umrah tammatani tammatan. You get the reward for hajj and umrah complete. The hadith itself is disputable in terms of authenticity. I believe it's hasan, it means it's maqbool and acceptable in terms of the authenticity of it. So therefore, it's good that if you stay in your place after Salat al-Fajr until the sunrise, that you pray to rak'ah, it will count as Salat al-Shuruq, you had the reward, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Can I combine duha and shuruq together? If you delay the sunrise, like if you stay longer, an hour after sunrise, for example, and then you pray to rak'ah for duha, that's fine. The best time for duha is to pray somewhere between the sunrise and dhuhr time. That's the best time for Salat al-Duha. But you can be praying it anytime from after Salat after the sunrise all the way until before dhuhr. Can you combine them in one intention? Well, if you, like I said, if you wait maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes after sunrise while you're still doing your dhikr and then you pray to rak'ah, it counts for you as dhuha and as Salat al-Shuruq as well. How do you get yourself excited about salah? Not to go lazy or delaying it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the munafiqeen, what did he say, jama'ah? قَالْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they come to salah, they drag their feet. Like they feel that they've been pulled يعني, so forcefully to come to the salah. If this is how you feel about your salah, you need to check your heart, not your wudu, wallahi. You check your heart, see what it is. What's burdening your heart? What is really occupying your mind and your heart? You need to, when it comes to the subject of salah, it's not just the 5 minutes before the adhan or once you hear the adhan. That's not how you prepare for salah, jama'ah. Preparing for salah is your lifetime. Every moment of your day and night is part of you preparing for salah because your life is about what, jama'ah? Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it's always on your mind, that when you finish salah, you think about, okay, when is the next salah is going to be? So you always manage your time and your life and your activities around the salah time. Alhamdulillah, your salah is always the focal point of your day and night. So you're always focusing around salah. But if salah, you feel as a burden, interrupting your dunya activities, of course it's going to be actually difficult for you to practice. Think about it the other way around. Make salah your focal point of your life and all other activities go around it. Is praying fard in the masjid a fard as opposed to praying it at home? What does that mean? I'm not understanding it exactly. Is praying fard in masjid? Oh, I see what you're saying. Is praying fard in the masjid considered fard? That's according to the Hanbali school, by the way. Only the Hanbali school that says that praying in jama'ah, praying fard in jama'ah is considered obligatory. And if you don't have an excuse, then you're considered sinful if you don't pray in jama'ah. That's according to the Hanbali school. But the majority of the ulama, they say it's actually sunnatun mu'akkada, like it's a highly recommended practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in Zahiri, they have actually a higher level even. They say it's actually rukun. Like if you can come to the masjid, if you can come to the masjid and you don't pray in jama'ah and you pray at home, your salah is batal. According to the Zahiri school, that's a little bit yeah, a different level. What are these rawatib? Two before fajr. And if you would like to do the 12, then you do four before Dhuhr, two after Dhuhr, two after Maghrib, and two after Isha. Is there a hadith that says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوَتْرِ نَعْمُ. That Allah is witr, and He loves what is witr, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Witr means actually single. That means it means singular. That's what it means. Are we allowed to pray sunnah for some salah and not others? Why, yani? Yani, dhuhr deserves the sunnah, maghrib doesn't deserve the sunnah. Yani. I hope that you don't really mean by that becoming selective, unless you say, well, it's hard on me because of my work, my circumstances, I don't have time, so I have to skip sunnah just to get the fard. Yeah, sometimes we get in the circumstance that I have to focus on the fard and skip the sunnah, for example. That's okay. But it's not like, you know, honestly, I feel too much to pray any four before dhuhr and two after dhuhr, so I'm going to just pray the fard salah. Maghrib is okay, because I'm home, I can pray my sunnah afterwards. Don't make this your intention. But yes, it's because it's not fard, if you skip it, there is no sin. But if you miss it, you're not going to get the reward for it. So there are many, many questions about salah in general. I'm going to be trying to focus on the spirit of salah itself and what we discussed in the class. Can we repeat the times that is prohibited, the salah is prohibited? We said that actually there are five of them. Can you guys count them with me? The first one is what? After Fajr Salah. After you pray your Fajr Salah. The second one? While the sun is rising. The third one? The zenith, which is right before Dhuhr time. Number three. Number four? Right after Asr Salah. And number five? When the sun is setting. Just to let you know, we said that there is the severe prohibition is when the sun is rising, when the sun is the zenith, and the sun is setting. That's the severe actually prohibition. What does that mean? That means it's prohibited even for you to pray fard salah during this time. It's prohibited even to do the fard salah. Like if someone did not pray asr, and now they look at the horizon and they see the sun halfway down the horizon. You shouldn't be starting salah right now. But if the sun, the disk of the sun above the horizon still, and then you start your Asr Salah, and then while you're praying, the disk is going below the horizon, you're fine. You're fine, like you started your Salah in the right timing. But if the sun is already setting, you should wait until it's completed, because khalas, your time is up. So you wait the sun goes down, then you pray. Same thing with the sunrise. But if you wake up after Asr, for example, an hour after Asr, and you didn't pray Asr, you didn't even pray Dhuhr probably, should I pray right now, or do I need to wait until after, you know, Maghrib, so I can pray my makeup salah? No, you pray right away, because the fard salah doesn't count. You can pray fard salah. You should pray fard salah right in that time as well too. As the Prophet says, whoever oversleeps as salah, man nama an salat aw nasiha, or you forget, you pray once you remember it. La kaffarat ala dhalik, there is no expiation for that sin or mistake except for that. So you pray right on time, inshallah ta'ala, when you remember it. So that answered the question here. Can you pray fard salah in a forbidden time? The answer is yes. Except, like I said, sunrise, sunset. Can you make the two rak'ah of fajr after the salat al-fajr? The answer is yes. Anas radiallahu anhu did that, and the Prophet ﷺ approved it. Can you pray the two rak'ah after wudu during the forbidden times to pray? Like, for example, after asr. Let's say you went an hour after you prayed asr. You made wudu. Can I pray two rak'ah for sunnah al-wudu right now? The answer is yes. Because according to the Shafi'i, that would be what? Salah dawat al-asbab. There's a reason for it. What is that reason? You made a fresh wudu. And it's also taken from Hadith Bilal himself, who was the reason to establish the sunnah by the permission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, قال ما توضأتُ. I've never made wudu في ليل أو نهار, day or night, but I prayed two rak'ah. So the ulama, they said day or night, that includes everything, including the time of the prohibition. Wallahu a'lam. Salatul Jum'ah before Dhuhr Adhan. So my local masjid has a Salatul Jum'ah before the Adhan of Dhuhr. Is that okay? What if you pray at Zawal time? Jum'ah is exempt from the Zawal, the prohibition of the Zawal. Because in the Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray Jum'ah so early sometimes, that the Sahaba, they say, we finish Salatul Jum'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as we leave, we're tracing the shade, the walls for the shade. We go by the walls just to get a little bit of shade. What does that mean? I mean the sun is barely came off maybe the zenith in that moment. Which means you are allowed to establish Salatul Jum'ah before that time. Now that's not necessarily the most popular opinion among the fuqaha, but in the Hanbali school, actually, you can even earlier than that as well too. Wallahu alam. Can you give us advice to how we can leave what does not concern us when we are hearing it from our parents or older relatives? A very, very serious question. Yeah, your parents are talking about someone else's business. It is not their business to talk about to begin with. So you would like to protect them from getting into gossip, for example. At the same time, you would like to protect yourself from listening to that gossip. So what do I do in this case? I mean, in a polite way, if you can, tell them, Jama'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. We don't want to be in the same position, for example. You kind of like try to slowly and gradually change the subject and make it in a better context. If not, try to see a different topic. Say, hey, who wants chai, for example, or something like that, whatever that is. And if not, then you need to be firm with them. Says, my dear parent, mom, dad, please. I mean, subhanAllah, Allah is listening to us. We're not supposed to be talking about this. You still need to be firm in that regard. And your job is not to force them to stop. Your job is to remind them. And if they insist on that kind of gossip, then you leave. Tell them, look, if you guys are going to continue to talk about these people, I'm going to leave. It does not concern me. I don't want to be part of this conversation. I'd rather leave. So you should actually make that position, inshallah, with them. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah, there are so many questions about, you know, my spouse, my kids, how can I encourage them to make sunnah and start praying? I hope that you are doing it, in the house for them to see you praying salah and encouraging them, inshallah ta'ala. And as again, the most important thing is to excite them about their ibadah. I mean, don't make it as a burden. Make it as something that they love to participate in. And if they do, just with the dua from your part, reminder as well, inshallah ta'ala, if they're young, of course, there is always the encouragement and the positive reinforcement activities as well, too, that helps with that, inshallah, azza wa jal. If you know something negative about someone and it may hurt someone else, is warning that person considered not my concern? It's a very vague question. It's really case-by-case scenario. Like, for example, if that is related, for example, to business transaction, and you know that person takes people's money, never get them back again to them. So in this case, yeah, you're going to go, hey, listen, just to let you know, I heard that you're going to be going into business with this brother. I dealt with him before. I know brother dealt with him before. He's not very good with handling money. Not that he's a cheater, not that he's actually a thief, no, but he's just not good with handling money, just to let you know. That's a good advice to give them, obviously. Wallahu a'lam. I've seen people pray Fajr Sunnah after Fard if they are late. Is that okay? The answer is yes. Naam. We said that from Hadith Anas. Someone says that I was told that you should only pray two rak'ah on Jum'ah if the Imam hasn't started the khutbah. If the Imam has started, does the Jum'ah khutbah take priority over the two nafil? Well, if before the Jum'ah, no, the Prophet ﷺ says, ثُمَّ صَلَّى مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ أَن يُصَلِّي. Then this person prays whatever was written for them to do so, which means it's open. There's no limit for that. But once the Imam stands up on the member, خلاص, finish and sit down. That's it. It's over right now. And if you come late and the Imam is already on the member, pray Tahiyyatul Masjid and make it brief and sit down. Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that to the man who came in and he sat down. He says, get up, pray two rak'ah and make them brief. Some of you might say, wait a second, what about Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he saw a man coming through on Jum'ah and the Prophet interrupted his khutbah and he said to him, قَالْ اِجْلِسْ فَقَدْ آذَيْتْ. Sit down, you're hurting people. So how come he told that one to pray, this one actually told him to sit down? First of all, this one was hurting the people. Like he's jumping over their shoulders and probably tripping over them. That's number one. Number two, we don't know. Maybe this man prayed in the back and he started coming forward because he wants to take advantage of being in the front, for example. So we don't know. But the other one, we know for sure the Prophet asked him, did you pray before you sit down? He said, no. He said, okay, then get up and pray two rak'ah. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, that's a weird question right now. Can you pray for a divorce from your wife? Allah, may Allah make it easy for you, Rabbil Alameen. I prefer you say, Ya Allah, bring me that which is best. That's better for you. Because I don't know if divorce is better for you than actually being married to them. Allahu A'lam. You always ask Allah for that which is best. If you sit down and then remember you did not pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid, do you get up to pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid? If it was right away, then yeah. But if it was after half an hour, خلاص, that becomes a nafil, yani, a different thing. If you come to the masjid and join Fard Salah right away, can you pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid after? The answer is no, because your Fard Salah was Tahiyyat al-Masjid itself. Because the idea is to pray before you sit down. So if what you started with was the Fard, alhamdulillah, you've done Tahiyyat al-Masjid. How do we get the whole family to pray at the house Isha consistently every single night? Bring them with you to the masjid, inshallah ta'ala. Drive them to the masjid. If not, obviously, it has to be like a family activity. Depends on the age, obviously. So when they're young, it's easier to bring them together. But if not, with the nasiha, with the advice, call them and invite them and remind them of the reward, inshallah. If you have a domestic argument, can you still pray after, or is it hypocritical? You need to pray for sure, yani. You pray and in your salah, ask Allah to soften your heart and bring the best for you in this relationship. Now, خير إن شاء الله. جزاكم الله خير يا جماعة. بارك الله فيكم. We'll see you next week إن شاء الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.